This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Which cities have the best chance to prosper in the next decade? Think about that for just a moment. And don't limit your sights to Texas, all right? San Francisco? Los Angeles? New York? How about Shanghai or Mumbai? Okay, what about Houston? What about Plano? What about some Texas cities that haven't even been officially finished yet? America's next boom towns is the focus of a new article by Joel Kotkin, which suggests that we're becoming a nation of, well, luxury cities and places where people go just to find that American dream. Kotkin writes about America and its urban heartbeat, and among other things, he is an author and contributor to Forbes, a longtime student of demographics and social and economic trends. Joel Kotkin, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
So, what is it that makes places like Austin and Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, prototypes for America's future as you see it?
Well, if you look at what cities are growing, where people are moving, that gives you kind of an idea of the future. I mean, in other words, where are people moving? They're moving to the big Texas cities, all four of them. And what's really probably most important, it's where families are concentrated, where people are having children. I mean, one of the things you find is we have almost two different models of urbanism. One is this kind of New York, San Francisco, you know, to some extent, Chicago, Seattle, Portland, where you have great lifestyle, some terrific things to do, amenities, but you can't buy a house.
Right, right. You know, this is an interesting dynamic, one that I think a lot of Texans perhaps take for granted. We were talking a little bit before we got started. Right before I permanently moved to Texas, I was in California. I didn't have any kids, but I was thinking about it, and it was inconceivable. Was it possible to have that kind of American dream where you have a house, you have a backyard, you have a great school to go to, and how much is that going to cost you?
I'll tell you what it will cost you. Since I just moved from Los Angeles to Orange County, it will cost you in excess of $1 million.
So people are voting with their wallets in their U-Hauls. I mean, that's what they're doing.
And also, if they're staying, they're accepting, I'm probably never going to own a house. I'll very likely live in an apartment. You know, I'm not gaining any kind of equity for myself. So what you're seeing in these cities is a decline of the middle class. So when we take a look at where people can afford to buy a house, where home ownership is strong, and by the way, particularly among minorities, the sort of what you might call the luxury cities, is one term I've used, are just very, very difficult.
Well, I mean, so what you seem to be saying, let me make sure that I understand this, what you seem to be making the case for is that as America's middle class is hollowed out nationwide, one of the chief benefactors, at least in theory, is Texas.
Texas, if you take a look particularly at really interesting numbers on 25 to 34 college-educated migration. Now, the media image is millennials are all a bunch of, you know, people with goatees drinking coffee in a Brooklyn hip club, right? Not the case. Where are the millennials in largest numbers? Where are they going? They're going to Houston, they're going to Dallas, they're going to Austin. Austin's usually on the top of almost every list. They're also going to Charlotte, they're going to Orlando, they're going to Phoenix, because kids aren't stupid. And they realize that since 2010, these luxury cities have become too expensive.
But what's something that I'm not hearing a lot in what you're saying, part of the mantra, at least here in Texas, is jobs, jobs, jobs.
Right.
We're a job generator. We're a job creator.
Right.
What I hear you saying is that people are looking for a way to have a higher quality of life. I mean, jobs, yes.
You have to have that.
But it's really a search for a quality of life that is at least keeping up with what they were used to as a child, for example.
Exactly. That's exactly right. When you look at polls today of people, and you ask them, do they think the next generation is going to do better? Then that number is dropping. Then the percentage of Americans who think they are already lower class is the highest it's been in 30 or 40 years. So people are looking at their lives and saying, where can I get a job and where can I make a decent living? You know, if you live in Dallas and you, a couple together making $110,000 a year, you know, not a huge amount of money, you can buy a nice house. You can be in a good school district. You have money left over to buy a decent car. And, you know, Dallas has plenty of amenities. I mean, now, if you're a complete culture maven and you got to go to every new play and every new hip restaurant, you know, you're probably going to look at New York. You're going to look at maybe San Francisco. Maybe you'll look at LA. Mm-hmm. But if you're not like that, which is about 99% of the population, the first thing you're going to look at, what type of life do you give your kids? I know it myself. I mean, one of the reasons we moved from LA, which I lived in 40 years, to where we moved now, I wanted my daughter to go to public school. She walks four blocks to a public school. It's a very good public school. It's a very diverse public school. You know, those are little prosaic things. You know, in the book I just finished, I mean, I take a lot of my lead from Fernand Braudel, the great French historian. And Braudel says, history takes place in everyday life. And the problem is that the media in particular doesn't focus on everyday life, because really they want to highlight the more extreme things.
Sure, it's man bites dog. If people were looking to Texas, is there any takeaway? Of course, we talked about Texas as being a chief beneficiary of the hollowing out of the middle class. That may be anomalous in a sense, given Texas's geography and its tax structure and everything. But is there something else that other places could learn from how Texas is managing it so far?
What Texas needs to do, like California did in the previous era, is say, how do we confront the problems of transportation? What are the unique ways we can do it? Now, one of the unique ways may very well be the creation, like you have all around both Dallas and Houston, of these planned developments which have shopping, have jobs, have parks, are able to be places where a lot of people don't have to leave at all. And Texas could become the exemplar. I'm thinking of things like Cinco Ranch and the Woodlands and some of the new developments up towards Plano and Richardson. And those are places where people could say, you know what, they got it right.
Well, this sounds wonderful for the middle and upper classes, but we're also talking about an enormous demographic of people who don't have, people for whom the places like the Woodlands, it's going to remain prohibitively expensive.
Right.
How does Texas deal with those issues?
Well, the way you deal with it is you continue to create enough housing so that you don't have these spikes. I mean, if you look at home ownership of African Americans and Latinos in Houston and Dallas relative to New York, Boston, and LA and San Francisco, it's 20 points difference. How we deal with the issue of people being poor, that's a universal issue that's everywhere. But what does seem to be the case is because of a lower cost of living, you can get by on much less. Now, that's not the ultimate solution.
That's not the answer.
But it's certainly better. What we're seeing now in California is about half of the Latinos in LA County are a paycheck away from poverty. We have the highest poverty rate in the United States, more than Mississippi. And even though we're by far the wealthiest state, and we mint billionaires like on an assembly line, and yet there's an enormous gap. The odd thing is, in many ways, Texas, in a social democratic sense, in a way I'm sure it wasn't intended, is creating a more progressive model than the places like California, which are increasingly, as I would argue, becoming feudal.
Joel Kotkin is an author. He is also a contributor to Forbes. He writes about demographics, social and economic trends. Fascinating conversation. I wish we had more time. Joel Kotkin, thank you very much for coming into The Standard.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.